Well, thanks. We're very honored to do this, truly. And it was kind of a tall order, you know, to talk about our story as well as theology, as well as leadership development, all within an hour, right? You know. But what's really cool, though, is our story, as of more recently, has really like allowed for this opportunity to happen, and not like this specific opportunity, but for the development of our own teams. Theologically, but also just within, what does it look like to have a healthy team? And that's changed in the past couple of years. And like Todd said, I've been in Cold Spring for almost 12 years now. I'm from Arizona, so I don't know. I'm here. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. It's a great community. Minnesota is one of the best. It is the best district here. You know what I'm saying? Make sure there's nobody. No, I'm kidding. But I think what's been amazing is in that time, in the 12 years that I've been in Cold Spring, I feel like my ministry has changed probably 12 times. Every year it's something new. But we've just recognized over that time how it looks to lead a worship team, not necessarily musically, but more importantly, relationally, theologically. Even just like, you know, practically. So we are here today because of God's faithfulness, and we kind of just want to start with that idea of what that has looked like in our life the past couple of years.
Yeah. So we've been married for 7 years, together longer than that. But in the last 7 years, we have walked through a handful of different things. We have a 3-year-old daughter. We call her our little miracle girl. A little bit of history. So when I was 24 years old, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Very unheard of, very rare, no cancer in my family whatsoever. I got this diagnosis when I was really young, and had to go through all the different procedures and chemotherapy, all the different therapies that go along with it. And through that process, we were told that that I probably would not be able to carry our child. We probably would not be able to get pregnant with a biological child. And so through that process, obviously, we had walked through a lot of different things, but we really believed in faith that the Lord was going to give us a biological child of our own. And so we got pregnant with Jane. She is almost 4, so she's just wonderful. A little spitfire and sassy, and she's just like her dad. So just like him. But anyways, in this process, so in January of 2024, I had went through all the different therapies. It had been about 8 years at that point since I had had my last diagnosis, and I had had clean bills of health. So in January of 2024, we went in for a very preventative checkup, and found that there were masses within my lungs. There were 5 masses in my lungs. And so obviously this was quite a shock to us because I had zero indication whatsoever of feeling sick. I felt great. But my doctor had called me and just let me know, hey, I'm really concerned by what I'm finding in these scans right now. I know that this is just a preventative check, but I'm not liking what I'm seeing. Derek had been out of the country actually at the time for a missions trip. And so I was at home kind of holding down the fort. But we ended up going in for one test, and one test turned into many tests. And we found out in March, actually, of 2024, that I was that I had a stage 4 metastatic cancer diagnosis. So if you don't know what metastatic means, in the medical world, metastatic means terminal, a terminal diagnosis. So there were 5 masses in my lungs that would eventually, they could treat until they couldn't. And so we were told a bunch of different really scary facts and a lot of really horrible things that are really hard to hear. I like to think we're still kind of young. The reason why we were doing these preventative checks is because we really felt like the Lord was leading us to have another child. And so that desire was very deeply rooted within us to have another baby. Through this diagnosis, we found out that was no longer an option. So there have just been a lot of things in the last 2 years that we have walked through. while trying to manage our household and pastor our church and lead our volunteers and do all of these different things. And I tell you these things because I don't want this to be like, oh, we feel so bad for you and we're pitying you. That's not at all, because this has actually been one of the greatest stories that we've ever got to tell. But there's been so much that we have learned in this season that has led us to where we are today, which is kind of what Derek was hitting on. So I want to back up just a little bit. In 2023, we felt like there was a shift coming. And we didn't know what that was going to be. Our church at the time, our senior pastor who started the church was going to be retiring. And so we knew that there were some big changes coming, and we didn't know what that looked like, but we just really felt this stirring in our heart that we needed to start really like prepping. We needed to be prepared for whatever the season looked like for us. And I really feel like 2023 was such a year of our family growing. We grew so much in our convictions. We grew so much in just our daily disciplines. We grew so much in being in the Word of God every single day, and also our times of prayer and our times of worship every day, an absolute necessity. It was no longer a negotiable thing. It was something that was absolutely a non-negotiable. And I'm so thankful for that season in 2023, because I feel like the Lord was stirring that within our hearts to prepare us for what was coming in March of 2024. So to fast forward a little bit, so we get this diagnosis in March of 2024. We took 2 months to really just pray and process and grieve and mourn and navigate what our next steps were going to look like. If you have family members who have had a diagnosis like this, or you personally have walked through something like this, you know that there's just so much information that's coming at you. And we wanted to just make sure that we were seeking the Lord and making the right decisions. And so we took the next 2 months and we prayed and we fasted and we sought guidance from mentors in our lives. And we really just sought the Lord with everything that we could. And so we went in for this checkup in May. Just to see, we really felt full of faith that the Lord had healed my body completely. And we were so excited because we were like, okay, this is going to be such a testimony. People had known about this diagnosis, and so we were super excited to be able to share, like, there were 5 masses in my lungs, and now there's not. I was so confident in it. My faith was so sure that this was the case. And so we go into this appointment in May, and we do the scan. And I remember, honestly, there's people in this room who were praying for us. There was all over the nation, people were praying for us. And we were getting texts all morning from people. And we just felt the presence of God truly in such a beautiful way. Like I've never experienced before such a peace. And I remember laying on the table as I was getting the scan with tears falling down my face, feeling such a peace, such nearness from the Holy Spirit in something that should have been a terrifying time for us. And so we have this scan, and we're going to go up and meet with my doctor, and we are just both so full of faith. Like, okay, we know exactly what they're going to tell us. I'm prepping already my timeline of what I think our family expanding is going to look like and how I'm going to share with the world that we've been healed, all these things. And we sit down with my doctor, and she pulls up my reports, and she says, okay, so it looks like these two tumors have actually grown in the last 2 months, and there's another one forming right here. And she is a wonderful, wonderful woman. We love her dearly. But in that moment, I just remember feeling so crushed, because we were so full of faith in that moment that the Lord, he was going to heal me. There was no other options in my mind other than he is going to heal my body of this. And he didn't. And because of that, that meant that I started treatment that day. So as soon as we were told this news, not only were we navigating this, I had to immediately start my treatment right after that. And that treatment meant truly like death to the dreams that we felt like the Lord had put in our heart. It was like the finality of it. It was the nail in the coffin. It was a devastating day for us, truly. And so we drove home that day, and we really just were quite broken, quite devastated. And then that led us into really the next 2 years of our life, where we were just seeking the Lord with all that we could.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can imagine what that drive home was like. You know, you're going from the cities back to St. Cloud, hour and a half of just, what did we do wrong? You know, what did we not say in the prayer? You know, what did we, you know, was it because of what I did, you know, 2 weeks ago, or what I said, what, you know, you just think of all these things. What did I do? What did I do? What did I do? And I think in these seasons, these fragile seasons, they actually reveal what your theology, what your foundation really was based on, right? I mean, they really like put to the test what you're actually standing on, right? And I think for us, that was the case. And right here I wrote, fragile seasons don't weaken leaders, they reveal the foundation. I think many of us, we as leaders, you know, I went to North Central and I graduated from North Central, so I knew everything about worship leading, right? Right? No, they don't prepare you for when your volunteer comes in and says, hey, listen, you know, I think I'm going to divorce my husband. You're like, what? You know, you're like, how do I deal with this? You know, you don't really know what you're standing on until the wind comes and the rain comes and the hurricane, all these different things come. And you find out that, wow, I don't know that I can actually have a footing to stand on. But I think what's very encouraging is as we read through scripture, we actually see that what's promised to us isn't what we, you know, the American dream, quote unquote, I think sometimes can be a distraction to us because we think that this is what we should have. If I earn it, I deserve it, right? And that's not always the case. So during this time that Ashley was talking about in 2023, when we just felt like we were just had this deep connection with the Lord in our time of prayer, verses would just kind of stick out to me. And it wasn't, I mean, really there was no reason why these verses should have stuck out, but in hindsight, I see that God is preparing our hearts. And one of the verses that stuck out to me was Psalm 119:71. It said, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. God, can I just learn it the easy way, right? Can you just tell me? I'm going to do it, I promise. You know, that's just not the reality of it. And man, did that hit home, you know, the last 2 years. Father, had I known that this was going to be our story, I wouldn't have said, you know, yes to it, obviously. James 1:2-4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kinds, because you know, I know, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So that day in May of 2024, we were wanting to finalize, to finish this journey of Ashley's diagnosis, to receive the all clear that she had received her healing, and she didn't. So now what? It was really kind of an exposing and vulnerable time for us because that was a Friday, right? 2 days later, I have to lead my congregation into worship, you know, with this, you know, and so we had a decision to make. Am I going to go up there and pretend like everything's okay, or am I going to go up there and be honest, you know? And I think for us, what we decided, or I guess what we came to was two different conclusions. There's two conclusions that we could land on. The first one was, I'm going to do it my way, or I'm going to do it God's way. If I did it my way, which we tried, we did everything right, it didn't work out, right? Doing it God's way means, okay, it's in your hands, Lord, okay? So first thing is, like I said, fragile seasons expose what your foundation is. When you find out like what you're actually built on, it can be really disheartening. I think in a lot of ways I had a very firm, rocky foundation that I built on, but at the same time, there's a lot of sand spots in that foundation. There's a lot of creaks in the house. You know, there's a lot of spots that you look up and you're like, oh, we'll get to that later kind of thing, you know. But when the season came for rain, those leaks were that much more, you know. Once again, our spiritual walk was really deep. That's what I felt like. But I felt like in that season of life for Ashley and I, what really allowed us to really grow was recognizing that our influence didn't matter as much as our spiritual walk, if that makes sense. And let me just kind of build it out a little bit more. It's easy to feel like when you're on the platform that what I'm doing, you know, what I'm singing, what I'm playing, whatever it is, like that's where we are the most effective, right? And it's not. You're not effective because you're on the platform, right? You're effective because of how God is using your influence. And our influence dramatically and increasingly and just like that grew because all around town, people found out that Ashley had a diagnosis, you know, a metastatic diagnosis. I just feel like for us, as we were navigating this season, we had to really come down to what is it that we're actually wanting to build a ministry from?
Yeah, and then with that, as Derek was kind of hitting on, we recognize that, like he was saying, the depth of our spiritual walk really was paramount to the expansion of our influence. So as he was kind of hitting on that, I think especially as creatives and really in any role that we may serve as volunteers or in a pastoral role, it's easy to put your worth and your value in your talents and your abilities and the things that you're able to offer. But honestly, we got to a point where we had to recognize that we were significantly more influential when we no longer made it about ourselves and what we could offer, and we really just made it our mission to seek and to save the lost, to seek and to save Jesus, and then to work on discipling. Seeking to save the lost.
This is good theology, I promise.
Great theology. Seeking to save the lost. I'm just so excited. I get tongue-tied. And discipling them, and then also seeking Jesus, first and foremost. Yeah. So I just think that's something that was so pivotal for us to recognize, that it was not about what we could do. It was about what the Lord could do. Yeah. Another thing that we really had to learn in this season was just the that waiting seasons are not wasted seasons. And I have heard so many messages that have a title like that, and I don't want to listen to those messages because I don't like waiting. I am so type A. I love a plan. I like to be prepared. And I have just learned in my lifetime that the Lord makes me wait for every single thing that I want, which is awesome. Glory to God. We're learning refinement through it. But I think one of the greatest revelations that we've had in the last 2 years is I think back to that appointment in May. And would it have been absolutely amazing to walk out of that appointment hearing the tumors are gone, you've been healed? That would have been incredible. It would have been so awesome to be able to go back and to tell our people, to tell our congregation, to be able to live in that knowing, oh my gosh, we've been healed. We've seen the Lord's hand at work. But honestly, when I look at the impact of what the last 2 years has brought us as we've been walking through this, I look at the impact that it's had in our personal lives, in our marriage, in our family, in our families, in our church, in our community, all of these things. It has been the best thing that could have ever happened to us. And that sometimes feels sick to say, like we're walking through the hardest season of our life. We're literally like living as we're dying right now. However, it is the best days of our life. It's so beautiful. And to be able to see this influence that we now get to have within our community has been so beautiful because we get to recognize it's no longer about us. It's no longer about us. We fully get to lay that down and surrender that to the Lord. And so going back to Psalm 119, it's been good for us to be afflicted. And I think that's something that is so important for us to recognize as worship leaders, as volunteers in some capacity. It's good for us to be afflicted. It's so easy to say, the enemy is just coming at me on all sides right now. Or, you know, I'm just walking through a really hard trial right now and not wanting to receive it. But really, what happens if we walk into a season that's really difficult and we just say, okay, Lord, I don't understand what's happening right now, but I'm going to trust you that you have a plan with this. It would change our entire outlook. It would change our entire perspective. It will change our family. It will change every area of our life. So waiting seasons are not wasted seasons.
Right. And we took a trip. It was that same month, May, right? That we had planned, not really knowing what the future is going to look like. So we just went all out. I'm just kidding. We didn't go all out. But we decided that let's just get out of town. Let's just go somewhere that we love. And we had a lot of great walks. And I'm not a walker. So that's how you know I was desperate. Okay. But honestly, though, it was a lot of great conversation, a lot of great just reflection time. And one of the things that we talked about was, okay, let's say that we do receive the healing, right? Then what? Then what's after that, right? It made me just think that am I moving forward in living this life of pursuing God because I want healing over Ashley, or am I doing this because I want to know the healer, right? I want to know him who can heal. I want to know him who can restore. I never would have thought of that because we never, you know, until you're into those situations, you don't really have a desperation that you're seeking an answer for. And it made me think about Acts 4 with the disciples. They were having great success, right? I mean, thousands were getting saved under the ministry of Peter and the disciples. But there was a moment where things were kind of turning for the worse for them in Acts 4. He talks about this. But Peter says, I'm sorry, talking about Peter, Acts 4, verses 23 through 31. After they were released, because they were just in prison, they went to their own people and reported everything the chief priests and elders had said to them. I'm just going to kind of skip ahead. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said, Master, you are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father, David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? So, talking about this, they're recognizing that they are facing persecution from Jewish leaders, from Gentiles, and all these different things that are coming against them. And so with all this in mind, considering this, verse 29, and now, Lord, consider their threats and grant your servants may speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place that they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. That was a big turning point for us, because I realized if we're going to die, metaphorically, physically, whatever it is, then I want us to live right now, you know? So rather than the disciples here could have said, you know what? We're done. Like, we're good. Like, we're not going to keep doing this, you know? But instead, what did they pray instead? They prayed for more. Holy Spirit, fill us again so that we may be emboldened, kind of like what Pastor Mark had said today, what was in our service this morning. Embolden us, considering their threats, right? Embolden us, Lord, considering her diagnosis. Because at the end of the day, you're going to use this for a far greater purpose than we could ever have used it before, you know? It was a moment like that that I realized, okay, Lord, you're turning our ministry upside down now. The way that we do ministry, you're turning it upside down so that way we can actually do it the way that you've always wanted us to do it, right? You know, not to say that we weren't doing it the way that God had intended, but I do think in some ways we were doing it according to what every single Sunday, man, we got a good set list. Man, like, the sound is good today. Oh, man, the lights are rock solid. Pro presenter's working for once. You know, all these different things, you know. All those different things where you're like, man, that's a successful Sunday. And when I realized, you know, after this whole experience, I realized that does matter, but does it really matter? What matters here, right? What matters to me is that the person who's running Pro Presenter knows that Derek Benoit, his pastor, actually does care for him rather than is always on his back because the words are too slow, right? Or the light guy, you know, sound, whatever it is, people know that Derek actually cares versus Derek wants it a certain way, you know? It's beautiful and very difficult, but we have learned how to lead differently in this season. And once again, we came to this position out of a place of affliction, but it's still something that we pray to this day with our teams every morning. Lord, fill us with your Spirit to embolden us to proclaim the good news that is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said as worship leaders, as ministry leaders, to lead from your testimony. And this is something that we talk about often with our teams. We have found that every single volunteer that is walking through a season of affliction, we actually get, I mean, we don't share that with them that we're excited, but we kind of get excited about it because we just know that it's gonna change the way that they lead worship. It's gonna change the way that they reflect Christ on and off the platform. It's going to change them. And that's been something that we have been so convicted with, is leading out of our testimony. What does that look like? And I think it's easy, especially when you are in a ministry role where you are maybe more elevated or people are watching you, to be afraid to be vulnerable or be afraid to be transparent. And obviously there's boundaries with that. Like, you don't want to be, have you guys ever seen the TikTok that's like the worship pastor who's telling all of his sins during the worship set? We probably want to shy away from that. I don't advise that. But I do think that there was something to be said. As someone who personally has struggled to be vulnerable and transparent with people, this has been like one of the most exposing things of my life. And to bring people, to invite people in, has been so beautiful. And so for us to be able to be vulnerable and be transparent and then lead out of our testimony has truly shifted the culture of our worship at our church. And that is not anything that we have done personally. I just really believe that the Holy Spirit has allowed this affliction to be what takes our church to the next levels of worship. Because now when I'm singing worship songs, I have to make a choice of, am I just singing these songs or am I singing this because this is what I truly believe? All my life you've been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Do I believe that, Lord? Or am I just singing that right now? And so these words became, they held so much more weight. And we have heard from people in our congregation, again, this is not a boastful claim at all, but we've heard from people in our congregation, like, when I'm able to watch people on your team who I know have walked through hard things, worship and say those things, it challenges me to be able to do that as well. And so we need to be leading from our testimony. Honestly, it's just so beautiful because we get to see people who are growing in their own worship as well. It's so cool to be able to look out in the congregation and know this person lost their child and they're able to worship to this song, saying these things, declaring who God is, knowing that they just walked through the greatest heartbreak of their life. This person is going through a divorce right now or marriage troubles, but they're able to come before the Lord and worship. And so I think as worship leaders, as ministry leaders, we have such a responsibility, such a call to lead out of our testimony. And what a privilege that is. What a privilege that is that we get to do that, to be vulnerable and transparent with them.
Yeah, and if you actually think about it, it's much easier to do it that way. Your testimony is, it says that we overcome darkness by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? We're not adding to that, you know? We're being being the image of God on a Sunday morning by just simply leading from our testimony. This is who I once was. Thanks be to God, I'm not, right?
And I think for people to see, too, that it's been something that we've had to come to realize that people aren't looking for a perfect leader. They're looking for a genuine leader. And we're going to lead so much more effectively when they can see a genuine leader over a perfect leader.
Yeah, so once again, this completely flipped our ministry. And so we just had to just really kind of like reevaluate who are we as a worship ministry? What is it? What are some things that are important to us that we want to make sure that are also bleeding into our worship leaders, our musicians, or the tech team as well? And one of the things that we came to realize in our season was that who we are off the platform, like I said earlier, is way more important than who we are on the platform. You will be way more impactful and more effective when people see that, you know, when I go into my local Teals, which I'm not sure you have that here, Teals, and they say hi to me and they, you know, we just talk and they recognize that Derek's the same off the platform that he is on the platform. They may not remember what I said on the platform, but they will remember how I was off the platform, right? So Romans 12:2 talks about having a renewed mind. And I think oftentimes for us, it's like, yeah, have a renewed mind. How do you do that, right? It's like, I don't know how to, you know, like, do I think harder? You know, whatever it is. And it's you know, if you read on in Romans 12, it actually talks about this in verses 9 through 21. I won't read all of it, but some of the hits I will, my personal hits. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. This one's hard for me. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourself. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I just really challenge you to either you memorize that verse or you just hang it up somewhere. Romans 12, 9 through 21. That's what it looks like to have a renewed mind. It's not something that happens overnight. It's something that comes over, you know, obviously with time. But when you start to see those things become the natural tendency of who you are, you begin to realize, wow, I am the same person on and off the platform. This is beautiful, you know? So, like kind of like what Ashley was saying, another thing we challenge our team with, what are we singing? And why are we singing it, right? I love teaching our congregation through song. I love giving them songs that have biblical phrases or verses that they can hum throughout the week. You know, I like getting that little earworm in their head that they don't forget about, you know. But also for our team, do you actually really mean it when you say this? That when the rain came or the wind blew, right? I just think it's so fun when we sing those songs and I see people and I see stories in our congregation of people reacting to the songs, knowing that that's exactly where they are right now and they're receiving that song as like their theme song for the week. Like that's job well done. Let's go home. You know, like that's exactly what we're there for. Once again, our influence is far greater off the platform than it could ever be on the platform. Are we on the platform providing a place for somebody to mourn, for somebody to grieve, for somebody to heal? Are we providing that same opportunity off the platform as well in the way that we live our life?
Yeah, I have actually really loved having this opportunity. So our daughter's in preschool, and then I work out every day. So right now, those are like in the community, my two opportunities to really be a light. It's an easy opportunity for me. And I think that there's been so much, we've seen so much fruit come out of those things. And so for people who knew me before this diagnosis, and then now have seen us walk through it, who are not believers, has been so awesome because it's opened up so many opportunities for conversation that have just been easy. And it'll normally be at the most inconvenient of times when I'm right in the middle of a lift. But I also recognize that God has put me in this place for a reason to be able to share this story. And so lean into that. Lean into whatever outlet it is that you may have. I think it's so easy to get caught up in the church world, or maybe you're in a position where you're a mom at home and it's hard for you to leave the house, or you're always working and you're I don't know what that looks like for you, but I would challenge you guys, but when you leave here today, to really seek out what opportunities do I have to be a light in my community, because that is so important. If you're the only people in your life that you have that you're close to are church-going Christians, you probably need to start looking outside of that. We have to be the light of Jesus. Just my little tangent.
Not in the notes.
Moving on. So in Ephesians 5, something also that you guys should go back and look at. We turned to Ephesians 5 in this process as well, because we were realizing that as all of this stuff was happening, our church was growing. Like I said, we were in kind of a shift of leadership with our senior pastor retiring and our new senior pastor stepping in. We were just seeing this exponential growth, and it was so awesome. With that came a really big influx of volunteers. And we had found that the things that we had been doing for so long were no longer really working. I tend to have more of like a dominant personality. I like to, like I said, I'm type A. I like to be really direct in what my expectations are. Derek is very good for me because he is the polar opposite. He's all harmony, very much so the peacemaker. And so we've had to find, the Lord has made a beautiful union in this, because where I can come off really strong and he can come off not strong enough, we're able to now come in together and have these conversations with people where we can be very clear. And that's what I really want to hit on right now, is that clarity is kind. We have to have clarity with our volunteers. It doesn't matter if you are at a church of 50 people or you're at a church of 5,000 people. We have to be clear with the volunteers that we're working with, the volunteers who are coming and giving up their time faithfully to serve each week. We have to provide that clarity. And just in Ephesians 5, we really felt challenged that we needed to start laying out very clear expectations of what we were hoping for with our, of what we were expecting with our volunteers. Ephesians 5 is a great reference with that. It just talks about, like, don't get drunk with wine. Don't have reckless living. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in love. Give thanks to the Lord, all of these different things. And so we made it a priority to start meeting with our volunteers, every single one of our volunteers. This was not a convenient thing, but it was so wonderful. Again, we saw the fruit of this, being able to meet with all of them, connect with all of them, and then to lay out our expectations. We found that these clear expectations reduced anxiety. These clear expectations reduced the conversations or the frustrations that people would bring to us. I know for me personally, I would have a really hard time when people would show up late all the time. It was really difficult for me. Even if it was only 5 to 7 minutes late, didn't seem like a big deal. Vocalists, you're just missing vocal warm-ups. What's the big deal? It was really difficult for me that people were doing that. And I felt really challenged because I had heard a quote from a pastor, and he said, "You cannot get mad at the things you allow." We had to start being clear. We had to start laying out our expectations. And you can do this in love, but what we found is that our volunteers were so thankful that we were laying out these expectations. We were being clear with them. And it has made so many things way easier. For us to be able to communicate the vision as a team, it's allowed us all to feel like we're winning. So when we're walking off on a Sunday morning, there's not confusion. There's not a misunderstanding. And if there is, we're able to direct that and have a conversation right away and clear things up. But I just think it's so important for us to recognize that clarity is kind, especially in a leadership role. We need to make sure that we are going to our volunteers probably before they're coming to us with frustrations. And so whatever that looks like for you, you may be somebody who's more of a harmony or a peacemaker, or you may be someone who likes confrontation. But I would just challenge you guys, even in the next couple of weeks, what does that look like for your teams? Can you lay out what are the expectations? What are the things that are frustrating me right now that I can clearly communicate to my team to start shifting the culture of our teams as well?
Yes, and as we were going through this refinement process, we realized that refinement was also going to be a process for some of our volunteers who had been a part of our ministry. Some of them had been a part for 12 years with me and had learned behavior. There was one situation that we had to address, and it was a really cool moment. This volunteer had been with me, I think, basically the whole 12 years, almost 12 years that I've been at River of Life. And as time went on, you could tell that this volunteer was slowly feeling like they were being replaced with other volunteers. And so the way that this volunteer would show up on Sundays was very detrimental to the chemistry that we had. And we couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And then we realized there's just, you know, it's insecurities, there's uncertainties, there's a lack of communication on our part. So we started that process, and it allowed us to have a conversation with this volunteer. And essentially, we sat down. She told me that she had a dream before we even had this confrontational conversation. She had this dream where she's walking around on the platform with us on a Sunday morning, and we're all having to use, who uses in-ears in here for their, okay, in-ears, right? Not over the ear? Okay. That's what we all had in her dream, was over the ear in-ears. And she, in her dream, had felt like she needed to use the actual in-ear in-ears. It's so silly, and I promise there's a point to this. But she had said that our pastor was talking to the guest speaker of the morning, and the guest speaker had said, that volunteer is really amazing. And our pastor had responded, this is in the dream, yes, but there's just something stinky about her. It's really weird. And she said the whole entire time she had her hand in her pocket carrying around this garbage. I'm not like a dream teller by any means, but I was like, girl,
the Lord made it real clear.
You're stinky to be
she
around.
Said, I'm just trying to figure out what it means. You're like,
mm-hmm. I didn't say it like that, obviously. But essentially what it led us to was this verse in 2 Corinthians 2. For to God we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. In other words, our fragrance, right, sometimes precedes us, sometimes follows us, sometimes surrounds us. If you're stinky, you're going to be somebody that nobody wants to be around. It's difficult because I think when we talk about what we want on a Sunday morning, I think we all say, yeah, of course I would love to have somebody who has a great heart, but if they can really sing well, that's kind of what we need right now. You know, it's like, or if they can play bass or drums, like get them on there. I don't care who they are, you know. I get that. And I believe me, we've been there too. But one thing that we've had to really just lay down really, really firmly is that we care about your character more than we care about your talent, you know. And unfortunately, we've had to say no temporarily to people because we've recognized that character just wasn't quite there. But we don't just leave them there, though, right? We begin to that process to disciple them because we say, hey, listen, your heart is in the right place. You're not earning a position on our team. We want you to be a part of what we're doing. Here's what we expect for that to happen, right? So anyway, all that to say, we want our people on the platform to smell really good, right? The health of your team is revealed in hard seasons. For us, our spiritual health was revealed. Our foundation was revealed in her diagnosis. The health of our team was revealed when we had a new building, when we had a new senior pastor, when we had new volunteers jump in, right? I don't know about you, but I don't always look forward to going to the doctor, right? Sometimes you go to the doctor and you're like, there's a reason why this hurts, and I'm afraid to find out why, you know? But then you find out why, and then what? Now you have an action step to take, right? Maybe it's an action step that can lead to healing. Maybe it's an action step that leads to maybe more understanding, whatever it is, though. And one verse that I really leaned on in this time was Psalm 139. Search my heart and know me. Test me, see what concerns me. If there's any idolatrous, some versions say, if there's any idolatrous or offensive way within me, lead me on the path of everlasting, right? I kind of see it like this. Lord, search my heart and know me. You're the great physician. Search my heart and know me. Test me. Let's go through some things here to see what's going on. See what it is that's actually leading me away from you. find out the diagnosis so that way my ultimate physician healer can lead me on the path of everlasting, right? Lord, reveal within me the things that are causing me to come against you or that's causing me to sin against you. It's a, like almost like a yearly checkup. We decided that it was time to do this within our teams. Lord, reveal within our teams what it is that's causing us to have division or causing us to have disturbance. It's causing us to be a distraction on Sunday mornings. And in that refinement process, I really feel like we landed on some good things.
Yeah, I think going back to our story, the cancer, you know, I went in for a preventative checkup. Like I said, I had no signs, no symptoms, nothing that was alerting me that something was wrong with my body. That cancer was not exposed until I went in for that preventative checkup. And praise God that I went in for that preventative checkup, because had I not, it could have been too late. And so I think that that's something that we've been able to apply to our own teams as well. In us being able to just have quarterly checkups, maybe even just like biannual checkups with these team members. And it doesn't have to be much. Honestly, what we found is that if we can just sit down with people, sometimes this is a phone call. Sometimes this is coffee. Maybe this is like a Zoom call or FaceTime or something.
Just a conversation on Sunday morning.
Yes, having just like an intentional time where we're connecting with people, it's allowing these frustrations maybe that may be festering to be able to dissolve a lot sooner. But we're revealing things before it's too late, because we're being preventative in the checking that we're doing. So going back a little bit, I don't want to leave you all hanging on where we're at, but so in May of 2024, as I said, I started treatment right away. And we just kind of continued to navigate through the season that we were in. And so from May until July of 2024, July of 2025, we kept, I did daily medication and therapies along with monthly infusions and just kind of walked through this whole process. And in this, it's been so cool because we have recognized this revelation that God is the only one who can heal us.
Amen.
And that may not be in the timing that I'm hoping for. That might not be in the way that I expected. But it's been incredible for us to turn to Scripture, to read His word, and to know that it is only God who can heal us. Derek kind of hit on this, but a couple years ago as well, Martha Tennyson was speaking here, and I remember her saying, "Are you seeking the healing or are you seeking the healer?" And this was 2 months after we had gotten this initial diagnosis. It has stuck with me. It is something that I think about often. But it challenged us so much, and there was different stories in Scripture that we would turn to that would just continue to remind us, Lord, what am I seeking right now? Am I seeking what you can offer me, or am I seeking your Holy Spirit? For myself personally, John 15 has been a passage of Scripture that I turn to again and again and again. Abiding in Christ. What does it look like for me to abide in Christ? To maybe pull away, to be pruned, to walk through painful things, knowing that He is the perfect gardener. And so finding John 15 and being able to be encouraged through that. For Derek, it's been John 11.
Yeah, and John 11 was back in May of 2024, when we were on the way home after her first scan and then subsequent a treatment at that same day, it was just such a blow, because I remember thinking, I almost felt like Martha when she ran to Jesus after Lazarus had died, John 11, she ran to him and said, why'd you wait so long? You know, if you would have been here, he would be alive, right? I think many of us could have asked, probably are in a season where either have been or are in a season right now where we could ask that of God as well. And Jesus had said to her, you know, once again, like, who do you say I am? And she says, well, I believe that you're the Christ, you know, and I believe that there is the resurrection will happen. I believe that. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, the life, right? You're not waiting for something. The promise isn't coming. It's here right now. It's fulfilled through Christ Jesus, right? If Ashley has, you know, if she passed away from this diagnosis, she's healed, baby. I mean, she's in heaven. You know what I'm saying? If, God forbid, I leave here and I get hit by a semi, I'm healed. You know, like, I the promise is here already right now. And it was in that moment that I realized, I can't do anything about this. I can't do anything. Like, I was like, come on, man. Like, I can't do anything about this. It was like a revelation that I received, like, this is beautiful, Derek. Let it go. Give it to God. And in that season, I recognized, like, so what other areas am I still trying to hold on to try and prove that I am, like, I'm a worthy leader, or I'm a worthy Christian, or I'm a worthy husband, or whatever it is? And one of those things that I realized was, like, I don't have a whole lot of things that I can stand on, right? Like, really, if you think about it, like, I'm not the best singer. I'm not the best worship leader. I'm not the best this or that, whatever it is. But what I'm really good at is being weak. I'm really good at being weak. So I'm going to boast all the more of my weakness, because what's going to happen, God's going to reveal how strong he actually is in that weakness. He is not, I'm not waiting on this resurrection life to happen. I'm living in it right now. And that was such a beautiful revelation for me, because how I led worship on Sunday mornings wasn't out of fear of, like, okay, maybe this is going to go well. It's like, I don't have time to see if it's going to go well or not. We got to go. The boldness of the Holy Spirit is within me right now. Today's a day. It's all we got. Let's move.
Yeah, I think that really challenged us too, because that just, like, that fires me up. Still, to this day, that fires me up, that we are not promised tomorrow. So what are we going to do about today? And with that, it has led us into a consistency with the Lord. And that's a daily discipline. We had to make this consistency with the Lord a priority. So for us specifically, we started making sure, like I said earlier, that we were in the Word of God every single day. This has become my daily bread. Truly, I cannot go a day without it. It is my greatest earthly possession that I own. And I'm so thankful, because this consistency with the Lord has resulted in a confidence in who the Lord is. The consistency that I've had and built with the Lord has resulted in a confidence of who the Lord is, who I know the Lord to be. And so I get to live in that, which is incredible. But I also then get to share the different things that the Lord is speaking to me, the Lord is challenging me with. This may be just through, like, a one-on-one conversation. This may be through an opportunity of exhortation through worship. This might be through a social media post. There are so many different outlets. But what we have found as we get to do this, in having this consistency and having this confidence, is that when we share, we get to encourage others, and then they get to grow in that, and then they get to share, and there's such a huge reach that we get to do. So I just want to challenge you guys, become consistent, because you will become confident in that.
Yeah, and with that too, one thing we've learned is it's not a matter of if something's going to happen, but when, you know. Mm-hmm. Not to discourage you or to, you know, seem like a downer, but I always say that people are like, you know. But we just don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, right? So let's leave it for tomorrow. Today, let's live for today. Another tip that I just always encourage people with is, especially as worship leaders, church isn't something that we do on Sundays, right? It's not something like, I'm not here to just sing a song, or I'm not here to make sure, like I said earlier, that the lights are working. Church is community. This is church right now. We're having church right now, right? We're giving God glory. We're edifying the saints. And our hearts are what? To seek and save the lost, right? So remember that when you're going through tough seasons, you still need to have community. You can't do this alone. You can't pull away. Especially as worship leaders, it's so easy for us to just want to be distant and separate from everybody when we're going through tough seasons, because we don't have a community. That's what it seems like. But if you're just honest, it doesn't have to be completely honest. You know, you have to share your, like, blow everything out. But hey, you know, this weekend, man, it was really rough. It was a tough night, you know, last night, you know, when we had Jane, our little girl, screaming all night. I know that some of us who have kids before, but I tell you what, I'm on little sleep right now, but I love the Lord. You love the Lord. Let's sing the song. Boom. You just broke that fourth wall right there. Because how many of us have had kids, right? Yeah. We still have to work? I remember that. Our community is, being a part of what we do on Sunday mornings isn't doing church. We are the church. We get to be the church.
As we close here, so through the last 2 years, like I said, we've seen these masses. There were 5 masses in my lungs that were continuing to grow. And we felt really prompted that the Lord was leading us to take a step of faith. And I always get a little bit hesitant when people say that. I have a wonderful care team, and they take really, really good care of me. We've had just really awesome appointments, but we felt like the Lord was having us take a step of faith. I really just believed that he was healing my body, and this was a slow healing. We believed that that was happening. And in July of this past year, we met with my doctor and just said, like, what would it look like for us to do another scan, for us to do some blood work, just to see where we're at with all of this. And basically each scan that we saw, those 5 masses would get a little bit smaller, just a little bit, not much, but I mean, a little bit for us to see. So these masses would get smaller. I continued to feel good. And so in July of this past year, we did this blood work test. And I was still doing all my treatment at the time, but this blood work panel is like the most innovative, newest on the market blood work. It's incredible. But basically what it does is it breaks it down at a molecular level, what the percentage of cancerous cells are in your body. And so while I was doing this treatment, we got the test results back, and it came back at 0.0%, which is unheard of. So we thought, okay, Lord, we're going to take the step of faith. I'm going to pause my treatments, and we're just going to see what happens. And so I pause my treatments. I do this blood test 6 weeks later. We do another scan. The tumors are still getting smaller. So I've been doing this now for almost a year. And in February, I had my most recent scan, again, being off of treatment for months, and then having this scan. My doctor described the scan as being unimpressive because there was nothing to measure. She also said, if I looked at your scans and I didn't know your history, I would just think you had scar tissue. The blood work panel also came back at 0.00%. So it's just incredible we stand here today to be able to share. This healing was not at all what we anticipated, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that the Lord has put us through this journey in the last 2 years, because I would never go back to who we were. I would never, ever want to go back to that, to see the faithfulness of God, to see the ways that he has shown us his goodness and his mercy every single day while also strengthening us has been so beautiful and so incredible. And so just as we close here in just the few minutes that we have left, we've talked a lot about foundations and what that looks like. And so we want to challenge you with that. What are you building your foundation on? What does that look like? Because this is pivotal. This is a matter of life or death. What is your foundation being built on?
Yeah, and you know, with a metastatic diagnosis, the doctor will never say to Ashley, you're healed. They'll never say that, because this is a cellular event, which is in some ways a really good thing, because it causes me to be on my knees every single day. And, you know, I think of Paul and how he had the thorn, and you know, I've been there. It's like, Lord, why don't you just take this thing away? Like, if you just take this thing away, I would be awesome. Like, I would be a really good worship leader, you know? I have to deal with this. Then I realize what makes, like I said, what makes me so effective is because I'm so desperate for him. Yeah. God, I just need you so much right now, you know? So we just have some final thoughts for you. What foundation is your ministry built on? Is it built on the shifting sand of production and trends? Or is it built on the rock that is to edify the church? What foundation is your personal life built on? Is it built on the shifting sands of diets and TikTok trends and fashion? Or is it built on waking up every single morning, Lord, what is it that you have in store? And finally, what foundation is your future built on? Are you still worrying about tomorrow? Or are you finally living today? Are you finally choosing that today is going to be the day where I try that thing, right? This Sunday, in 2 days, or whatever it is the Sunday that I'm actually going to try and read a verse to our congregation, or I'm going to, you know, exalt the Lord, or whatever it is, or we're going to try that spontaneous moment, whatever it is, because you're not promised tomorrow, right? But today starts, as we found out, starts the trajectory of what your future is going to look like. Today starts that, right? So in order for us to consider what our future looks like, we have to consider what today is going to look like. And I choose, as my wife does too, and we have it in our house, to follow the Lord.
Yeah. Our foundation has to be built to stand. But that's not going to happen unless we put that time in. And that foundation will stand no matter what season you're in. It's going to stand if you've built it up and you've put the work in. And so that starts today. That's all there is to it. It starts today.
Yeah. So we have maybe a couple minutes left or so. So we just thought, we just want to feel some questions. You know, maybe you're kind of in a season right now too where, hey, like your story maybe resonates, you know. So we just want to be able to offer responses, maybe not answers, but at least responses for questions or thoughts or anything like that.
We'll also be here at the end if you want to have like more of a private conversation. But
yeah. I know it's heavy stuff.
There was a long time in my worship leading where I would say, Ashley's got the mic again. We talked about hardship because it just became so much a part of our lives. But it was just so cool to be able to keep it in front of, keep it in the forefront of people's minds.
So you're type A, you're not.
No. I'm like Z. I am so.
Yes.
Where's the middle?
That's a great question. I have to rely on Derek a lot to pull me back a little bit. And I have to be continually remembering the fruit of the Spirit. I feel like for me, I love, like I said, I love a plan. I love when things go according to what I think the order should be. And so first and foremost, seeking the Lord, like, how can I have the fruit of the Spirit in this, in addressing a difficult conversation or, having a conversation, talking to a volunteer, whatever that might look like, and then bouncing it off of him, making sure we're having these conversations beforehand and then bringing it in. But I have made it an effort to pray the fruit of the Spirit over my life every single day, because I find if I don't, we're way over here.
It's a different fruit.
Yes.
One thing to put it maybe in a different environment. Mm-hmm. You talked about having opportunities and then being at inconvenient times.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I could totally put myself in the gym, mm-hmm, with you, like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, I'm mm-hmm here. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to move to this machine, and I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to do this activity, and I'm going to do that technique, and I'm going to give you all that done in time to get out the door.
Yeah.
And so you got that down, and somebody interrupts you. I know what happens to me.
Yes.
I'm like, this is the most annoying thing that's ever happened to me.
Yes. I've had to surrender my will a lot. And you know what? Praise God, there's free weights at our house. And I can do body weight exercises. Because I've just come to learn, like, my greatest mission is the people, is the lost, truly. And so when I was able to shift my perspective from that, it made it a lot easier for my type A self to be okay with giving those things up.